All right, everybody, I'm doing some invites real quick, like always. Looking for my man Ricky Ross to get in here as well. Let me get some invites out. I was trying to do something early before the actual broadcast, so just work with me. See you up in here, Billy. Get these invites out. Hopefully my man Ricky Ross get in here in a second. I think I see Ricky right here. Let me see if I can get him on. All right, hold on. I invited you on, Ricky. Let me see. Okay, it says approve. Let me see here. Let me get you on, brother. All right, I'm about to add you on, Ricky. Hopefully you about to be.
It's right. I'm always trying to figure this thing out. I thought I had it mastered. What's up, King?
What up? Can you hear me?
It's coming through. I don't know how. Not coming through.
Can you hear me better?
Yeah, you good now.
All right. You good.
All right, cool. I think we got this thing rolling. All right, man. Shoot, man. We'll go ahead and jump in. Good to see you, King, man. I was definitely trying to get some invites in, but we're going to go ahead and just jump this thing off, man. And for everybody out there that's tuning in, this is my man, Cream Ra. I'm Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. And, man, we chopped it up almost a week. What's up, Yolanda? We chopped it up about a week and a half ago and said we wanted to pay some proper respects, to this tragic situation with Nipsey Hussle that everybody's feeling so deeply. And first thing we talked about was just paying the proper respect and not really doing this until after that man's laid to rest and just having respect, you know, now that he's with the ancestors. And so – just to let people know, in a sense, it may have been hotter to do this a week ago, but we wanted to do it at the right time versus the hot time, if that makes sense. And if you will,
right on.
Yep. And if you will, Supreme, give people just a little bit of your background, and I'll share some of mine because I know you got some of your listeners listening as well. So just share some of your background, and we'll get right into really what we want to do with this question, which is Nipsey Hussle. What should we learn? But go ahead, King.
Well, man, first I want to thank you for, you know.
We might have lost your audio.
No.
All right, we good now. All right, I heard you say, well, thank you, and then it went out.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you for inviting me, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm Supreme Ra Africa, Lone Star RBG organization here in Texas. I also affiliated with the Uhuru Academy, and I'm just ready to get it in, bro.
Now, I appreciate you. And again, I know you got some people tuned in as well. My name is, again, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. I do the Mental Dialogue talk show every Saturday morning. So this really is really almost live pop-up show, per se. I call it Mental Dialogue tonight on Facebook Live. But as I was, kind of saying, the question for this evening is, Nipsey Hussle, what should we learn? And, I've been following you for a long time, King, and I really respect what you do. Just to dig into just some of the initial happenings, we're not going to go through all that back and forth that people have already been through. Again, we want to really talk about what we should learn from it, how to honor this man's legacy. But I think it's only proper just to speak about day one and something that in following you that I knew I could take to the bank, which was obviously when it initially happened, and people were trying to figure out whether it was true or not. Based on your background, you was able to reach out. Even though you're in Texas, reach out all the way out to the streets of LA because you got those type of connections. And you pretty much knew well before most people what had happened. And you really said, hey, unfortunately, I got the information. Here's what really happened amongst all the conspiracies. And you said, I'm going to bed because I can't waste time with all these conspiracies that people are finna put out. And this was a kind of like almost the day that it happened, you said, I'm going to bed. Yeah. I cannot watch Facebook because I know what they're going to do. And the last thing I'll say, and I'll let you jump in, was, as this was happening, the first few days, and you could tell me if you heard this as well, but the family was concerned about how far this stuff was going, just out of respect for didn't even know what had happened yet because they was trying to, obviously get the investigation going or whatever. So, and to a certain extent, even they felt somewhat disrespected by what we did on the internet, per se, and you was like, I'm cutting the internet off because I got the word. Right. Go ahead, King.
Right. So what's the question?
Well, I'm just kind of just having you speak on that initial night,
Well,
all frustration, knowing
I got
what
some,
was about
I
to
got some,
happen.
I got some, yeah. I got some people in LA, you know what I'm saying? That's close to the 60s hood, you know what I'm saying? And a couple of 60s is out there. And I just asked them what was going on, you know, like any other thing in the hood. The hood gonna know
Streets
first.
know. Streets know.
You know what I'm saying? The word gonna spread fast, man. And I talked to some reliable brothers, a couple of reliable brothers, man, and they just told me exactly what happened.
Right. And this,
You know?
yeah, and this is how much respect
So,
I
you
got for
know,
you.
and then, you know, you can't.
Now go ahead. I'm sorry, King.
And so, you know, I can't listen to nobody in North Dakota. Then I already done took it to outer space and shit. You know what I'm saying? You know, we gotta quit doing that, man. You know, just cause it don't seem right. A lot of shit don't seem right. A lot of these killings is it don't make sense. But you know, we just gotta you gotta use our brain and our minds and common sense sometime, man, and quit with the we so I think that living in America is so much stress on us, it's so much pressure that it's a form of a escapism. You know what I'm saying? We just it's we trying to escape. And anything we can grab hold of that's not part of this, that's not part of the norm, we just we gravitate to it, man. But we got to accept the norm.
Right. Absolutely.
This is it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I wanted to, and I did, I think I told you this via in a sense, face to face on Facebook live, is how much I respected you sending that word, because I followed you long enough. And you know, again, I don't know your full background, but you definitely moved with the type of respect that I knew that you wasn't finna put anything out that wasn't solid. And so, as I told you, I was able to run with it and say, hey, I
Right.
considered you a reliable source because you come from that cloth where you don't speak on nothing unless you know. And so I knew that I could do that because I'm definitely known researching,
My word.
but your words stand. And I just want to tell you I appreciate it about you, King, and then we're gonna get really off into this thing.
Thank you, brother. Well, you know, I'm from the era, man, where your word meant a lot. You know what I'm saying? My word is important. 'Cause that's all you got at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? So I don't put shit out just for the fuck of it. You know what I'm saying? And if I do, people know that I'm joking. You got people putting stuff out that they say is fact and ain't got a clue on what's going on. Like, why would you, like, we spend so much time combating misinformation, right? That we've been fed. Why would you use your platform for misinformation? Why would you cause confusion? We already got enough of it.
Yeah, I did the why at this Zoom, but I don't speak to the why. I got this saying I always use, you know.
You're breaking up a little bit, bro.
Okay,
You're
can
breaking up a little
you
bit.
hear me now? Am I coming through now?
Yes,
All
sir.
right, cool. I said
Yeah.
I was gonna say it this soon, but I'll tell you the why. Is this it's, you know, I consider myself a philosophy, so I'm always coming up with little sayings or whatever. But the saying I use when it comes to people who choose to do that by choice, I always say perpetual struggle. Perpetual struggle is a hustle. And so unfortunately, that they're doing it for the views because of what it can lead to later in their own lives financially, unfortunately. And so people, in a sense, perpetuate a lot of the misinformation. Like I said, some people are reaching on their own, but some people are using their platform, misusing it, in order to feed into that struggle mindset. So that's the why. If you know, just to even answer that question. And again, I know that wasn't necessarily your question, but I just wanted to speak to
Right.
that. Go ahead, King.
Right, man. You know, we just gotta, man, we gotta be careful. We gotta be mindful of the man's family. You know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying? I just try to put myself in a situation if I was murdered. You know, what would my children my children knew what happened, right? My family knew what happened, and they go on the internet and look at all the bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like
Right.
they know that ain't true.
Right.
Like why, you know, we it's just it's a lack of responsibility, man. And you know, but I gotta understand though, everybody don't feel like they should be responsible like me. And I struggle with that. You know what I'm saying? It's certain codes and shit that and bylaws that I go by, you know what I'm saying? And I feel
Absolutely.
like I especially people in the struggle, people that's part of the liberation should know. But everybody ain't part of it. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of frustrates me. Like, damn, it's certain shit you just should know, man. And, you know, everybody came in is different, though. I'm from the 90s era.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We had to show and prove
absolutely.
Actual facts.
Absolutely. Well,
what was consequences to it.
Absolutely. And that's why we're doing this. We're doing this to at least, again, we waited till the man is laid to rest. And I want to do this with you so we can at least put out what you're talking about, at least put it in the atmosphere. Because say, as yourself, I do empathize. You know, this is what happens when we get a celebrity. So people think, in a sense, we have a right to somebody's life because they're a celebrity, which we don't. We should pay them the same respect as we would want if we wasn't so well known. But as you said, you would hate to see that BS, like you said, if you put yourself in their shoes. So beautiful point, but this is why I wanted to do this, to at least let people hear how it's supposed to go, because we sit there and watch. Like you said, you was cutting your internet off that night because you knew what was about to happen and how unfair that would be to the family. And so, like you said, I know why they do it, but I wanted them to at least hear why they shouldn't do it. That's why we started this video tonight, if that makes sense. And then I'm going to get into the two points that we want to cover for the evening. But I just kind of wanted to, you know, just set it up before we got to those points. Any thoughts on that before I lay out the two points we're going to discuss?
Man, you know, it's just that, like I said, man, we gotta, I understand why, like, to me, we in a war, right? In America, to me, we at war for our very existence. You know what I'm saying? So if something goes down that we can't automatically explain, we always chalk it up to the white man, to the government, to the Illuminati. If we keep that train of thought, there's no way we can win. You got people believing these motherfuckers control hurricanes.
Exactly. And that's...
If they control hurricanes, we can't win.
It's impossible.
If they orchestrating a fucking fake death and funeral with these many people involved, we can't win.
It's impossible. And that's what I wanted to be... That's the first point that I wanted us to talk about. And here's how I want to connect it to Nipsey. Because, you know, you probably saw the pinwheel picture that's floating around showing everything that you seen that one where everything that brother actually had his hands into. Incredibly powerful, you know what I mean? Obviously, everybody was connected to him. And Malik Yoba said this on the interview. He said, in reality, part of the people's awe is kind of at this point, people are find out everything that he was actually into. So that's actually playing a role in why this man is garnering so much respect. So in seeing that pinwheel, what I thought, because what everybody's been saying the last couple of weeks is a good thing, you know, that we all, in a sense, should strive to be like a Nipsey Hussle. I'm pretty sure people have woke up with a little bit of extra hustle. I know I have, you know, just, you know, at the loss of this man, which is a beautiful thing that can uplift us all if people are hustling and grinding harder towards their dreams with a commitment to, you know, to one another. That's the part, that's the easy part that everybody's talked about.
And not to cut you off, we got to understand it wasn't just him by himself.
Beautiful.
He had a team.
Absolutely.
He had a team. You seen his mama.
Right.
You seen his daddy, you seen his brother, you seen his friends. He had a team, man. We got to, you know, and a lot of that gets lost in the sauce, man. You got to develop a team around you with the same goal, man. You know what I'm saying? His name was just on because he's the popular person.
Right.
But all those ideas wasn't him.
Right.
Feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, real talk.
Yeah.
Real talk.
Yeah.
So here's the next level, and this is what I call, you know, we call ourselves mental dialogue, trying to, you know, take it to the next level. So the next level is what you was just talking about from the idea of how we latch on to things. And what I mean by it is when we see that pinwheel and understand how progressive that brother was, how he had jumped out front with Bitcoin, how he had started Vector 90 in the hood, that workspace, you know what I mean? That play people with to do that. So when you see how progressive and how genius this brother was, I think we should have an obligation to more critical thinking, not only to be going out into the business, but I think we owe it to this man, in my personal opinion, after, in a sense, the internet or we have disrespected his legacy with the initial conspiracy type stuff. So I'm actually going to the next step is to be more of a critical thinker like Nipsey was. That's a way to leave a legacy, in my opinion, if that makes sense.
And to add on it, bro, and to add on, it really wasn't genius. He just put the effort.
Real talk.
The blueprint is the blueprint was already there.
That's real.
Ownership. We just lack trust in each other when it comes to money. We got the formula. The formula been laid out years ago. He just actually took the formula and put his money and effort and hard work where his mouth was. You know what I'm
That's
saying?
real. That's the simplest way to look at it, and that's
He
exactly what it was. It was nothing more than
didn't
that.
invent anything.
Yeah, nothing more than that.
He didn't invent it. It was already out there.
Yep. So,
Word up.
yeah, now let's relate what you're talking about. Like, in a sense, emulating that man on, like you said, that blueprint that's already there. And I want to reiterate the concept of when you mentioned if they can control hurricanes. And so I also want to relate the idea jumping on these overall conspiracies. I want to really reiterate that for people. And I said this on your Facebook earlier this week, where I said, if you get to the point where you no longer believe the truth, you will never catch a lie. If you get to the point where you
Right.
no longer believe the truth, you will never catch a lie. Let me relate that. So what happens is we absolutely have to be aware of different attacks that are happening to our community. We have a very unfortunate long history on all types of high-level attacks that have happened to our community. But where we miss the boat is, which gives us validity to be concerned when it comes to our community, we have a valid reason to be basically conspiracy theorists. We have a valid reason, specifically us
We
African
do.
Americans. So I want to make that clear before I say the next point. So we have a valid reason to be so. What happens is, but we also have history that you can study to learn the tactics. And when you learn the tactics, then you get to throw out a lot of the BS stuff that is not a tactic. And because, as you said in the beginning, once you start latching on to these empowering things, or the idea that our government, as I always call it, would be in the weeds, if that makes sense. Be in the weeds, meaning not only would they, for example, we know the attacks on a Martin Luther King or Malcolm X or Huey P. Newton, at the level that they arose to. I mean, you can go back and look at the COINTELPRO papers. They released about the 50 years, so you see the actual attack and why they became targets, or even like a James Baldwin, but never becoming a target. Like, I'm just pointing out things to show that they're not getting in the weeds of a young man buying a building. And my point being is,
Right.
if we have them controlling the weeds too, if they have the capacity to, for example, because this is happening right now, and most people don't know it, but right now, Russia and the United States is competing like hell for the North Pole right now. I'm talking about some real
Right.
pole due to some things that are going in the future. That's some high-level stuff that obviously ain't on my radar. The thing is, they got time to do that and go down to the lowest level. I'm talking about, because we throw these conspiracies out on anybody. Again, that becomes a capacity of making them way more powerful
Well,
and smarter than they, quote unquote, I hate using the word they, than they actually are. It comes back to what you said before. We can't win if we keep latching on to everything. We have to be strategic by studying history and says, this may be real, this may not be. Because what happens is, you only can experience
they really ain't that
when you
tough,
know
Mike. They
when that
really
comes
not
up.
that tough, man.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
They not that tough.
Exactly.
They shit is held together with tape right now. You look at the White House. That shit in shambles. That shit more ratchet than Love and Hip Hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to get to the point, man, to where we got to move with them in our blinders. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Forward is the motion. We got we read every fucking book. We know every economical plan. We got the spirituality. We got all that. We just gotta move. We gotta go on, come on with it. Everybody ain't gonna be down, but all we need is enough.
Nah, fair enough.
We need to quit worrying about them, man. And even if they did kill him, right? Even if they did kill him, they fucked up. Because there's too much good shit coming out of it.
Yeah, you won't even
You got gangs in LA.
Conspiracy. Right. Absolutely. Like if you want to give any type of validity to it, then it was a wrong play. But it's as smart as we got them, they're going to figure that out too, right? Like you have to post today.
Right.
It's like Nipsey deserves us getting to the critical thinking. That's what I feel like has to come out of it so that we can separate the real from the fake. Real from the fake. And again, there's a history of us of different attacks systematically. That's the things that are still a concern. But the things we focus on are the things that are in the weeds, that are not part of the systemic stuff. It's stuff that's not even coming at us. Like you said, put them in our blinders but we're putting that stuff out front and letting it get in our way. So Nipsey deserves us working, taking the work ethic, following the blueprint, and stop allowing BS to get in our way. His legacy deserves that. If what I'm saying, is making any sense.
Right. Even we can't let him die in vain. And it's not happening. It's not going to happen, man, because it's too many people that love him. You got people that never met him, that never heard his music, that love that man.
Fair enough.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what I meant when I made the quote about him being a Christ. I wasn't speaking literally. I was speaking to, like, whatever the energy is, he has that. To have that type of effect on the world, he has to be something special about the brother, man. And we got to respect that. But you got a lot of people who want that attention, who feel like they put in the work and ain't got that attention or that recognition, so they hate on dude, man. And that's some sad
that's
shit.
That's real sad. I don't even like to follow up on that, but that is right. Let me leave 2 points.
That's
yeah. Let's focus on two things that we'll go to. Point. I would venture to say, again, just respecting that man's, when they showed the pinwheel of everything he's involved in, I definitely would love to see our community, for example, I've said this on the Mental Dialogue Talk Show before, but I think it's imperative that we take a STEM focus. That's something that y'all do it very, very well. It is actually more opportunity there than we recognize. And as long as we get caught in the weeds, worry about the BS and think about conspiracies, because some people don't realize they're real forces that won't have a chance. They don't realize that's what they're real forces. They I ain't got respect, but then you made them control hurricanes. Like, you really are subconsciously making them gods. Well, I mean, that's just keep it real. And so I'm saying all that to say that
you're making them gods.
Absolutely.
But see, with some of us, they ain't never stopped being gods.
That's real.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, really.
Just cause some people claim consciousness, they don't mean they ain't let that crack of God go. So they just didn't replace Jesus with the Illuminati or with they or the government.
I don't know if it's breaking up for the people listening.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're coming through.
Yeah, we just replace one white deity with another one.
Yeah, that's real.
If a motherfucker controlled the weather, that's God.
Yeah, that's real. And
you know what I'm saying?
And so, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's what and that's like I said, I promoted this post saying we shouldn't give power to when we latch on to these BS conspiracies when the real was right there for us. And it came out. Once you said it the first night, that's what actually happened. And again, we owe that to that man's legacy. We owe to focus on, as again, I think infrastructure and STEM. That's what I saw when I read that man's pinwheel and the type of things he was focused on. Then that's not only are we, should we emulate the hard work and that kind of thing, but we actually, as a community, it becomes imperative that I feel like Nipsey was focused on the right things when it comes to our community. So we also have to study and decide to go down that path, especially in the United States, where the country is short on fulfilling future STEM jobs. And again, not just across the jobs, I'm just talking about the skills that come with that type of education and the guaranteed wealth that even if that's your own focus for yourself, you can take care of your family for the next generations. Now, better than doing it for yourself.
If we put the same emphasis on STEM and not basketball little leagues and football little leagues and baseball little leagues, man, it'll advance us so much faster. You know what I'm saying? We our priorities on the wrong shit, man.
Do we not owe it to this man's legacy to talk about where our priorities should be if we're going to really not let him die in vain? You feel me? Like, that's a part of this conversation. If we're not going to let this man die in vain, then let's at least, and that's what you and I are doing, we're having the conversation and hopefully it gets out to people that, hey, you know, instead of, you know, taking my little man out to the court today, which is cool, how about that extra math lesson? How about that? You know, and people are, you know, there's plenty of people that are already heading the way in STEM, but they sometimes have trouble filling their classes. And I'm gonna leave this story, and then we're gonna move on to the second point. I always talk about this on Mental Dialogue. The country of India, we know we have a special visa that a lot of them get and a lot of Chinese get because they have the skill set that Americans in general are lacking, right? Just all United States, not just us, but the whole United States is lacking. So they have this special visa where they come in the country to fill high-level scientific, you know, science jobs, doctor jobs. And so in their country, they have a commitment where they get that money together and get that child that can get that visa. They go to school here, get that, and they literally bring the whole family over with all the money that they make. And for them, it's like our NFL. It's like our NBA. Our STEM positions in America are like the league for them. And we absolutely should be emulating it when we know these jobs are unfulfilled. To give you one stat, it's in the next 10 years, there's 70,000 jobs that are expected to go unfulfilled in Georgia, where I live alone.
Wow.
So I appreciate what y'all do at the Huru Academy with a very strong STEM focus, but our priority has to change, and that's one thing I would like to be a legacy of Nipsey Hussle. Wow. You see what he's involved in. I want to see conversations evolve. You know what? Let's go copy what this brother did, because it will bring our whole community along. And that's kind of the last thought. I'll give you a last thought on it, but I wanted that to be a major part of this man's legacy.
I think what a lot of people need to look at too, man, is how he localized this strategy. You got to start local. Like, you got to start with friends, family, and community. And everybody on the right, on the same wavelength, on the same vibration, and move forward like that. That's how we started with Lone Star RBG. Localize, same agenda, and push forward. Because we're not going to get no major unification across state lines and shit like that. We just not, you know what I'm saying? The internet helps, but it's best if we physically do it in our local cities.
Now,
develop a tribe, and work with that, and work within that tribe, and do that in your city, and then the other cities will emulate that. Just like we need to emulate what Nipsey did. Right. It's really a simple blueprint. All it takes is money, trust, and sweat.
Nah, fair enough.
If you listen to his brother, his brother was saying how they went broke to get that building.
Right.
That's a lot of us not willing to do that.
Right.
Because we don't trust each other when it comes to money.
Right.
Yeah. That's the final step. Financial and economic and economical trust amongst us, bro.
Yeah.
Once we get that, it's on. We do everything else. We come together for everything else. But when it comes to I got 10,000, you got 10,000, she got 10,000, let's go get this building and do whatever it takes. Some people do it,
but definitely not enough.
Yeah, that's real. And that's the historical distrust that has been bred in us. And this actually segues us into the last point that I think we need to make in reference to Nipsey's legacy. So, you know, you're absolutely right, not enough. And we know that our historical distrust has been bred into us. I want to talk about this statement that I hear quite often, and I was watching you, and I sort of knew you were the right person to have this conversation with. And this is going to sound crazy for people that have been listening already, because we're really about to flip this. But again, I think this is a proper legacy that should come from Nipsey, which again is to get us towards what I call right thinking. I always say, if you think right, you can act right. A lot of times people are action oriented while people still have messed up thinking. That's going to be a disaster, in my personal opinion. So anyway, with that said, there's this statement, you know, obviously it was a heartfelt loss, but there's a statement that a lot of people were saying after it happened, and it was, we got to do better. We got to do better. That's a narrative that's been handed to us as a community that we don't quite understand. And I wanted to see if you and I could break that down. And again, for me following you, I would assume, and I may be wrong, you could tell me, that's cool, we'll dialogue about it, but I would assume you're not a fan of that statement, as I am not. The statement that, you know, I thought,
I'm not a fan.
Go ahead.
I'm not a fan of that statement when we're trying to prove something to somebody else. See, a lot of people make that statement because they're embarrassed by white folks or non-black people looking at them. See, we got to do better. Look at us. That's why we don't get no respect. You know what I'm saying? But on the other hand, we do have to do better, but only for us.
So
only between us.
Right.
So we ain't got to do better for nobody else.
Well, what happens is,
right,
what happens is efforts that you make and all these groups make within these neighborhoods and these communities is the steps that people are always taking and continue to take. And so when you latch onto this, we got to do better, I've always said you're shitting on the teachers, the mentors in the communities, you know, these programs in these communities where people are committed to ensuring that these children are not becoming quote unquote a statistic. Like, so just saying we got to do better, in my opinion, for one, shits on all the real efforts that are always being made. And here it is, let's put these communities in perspective too, Supreme. Let's put these in perspective. So perspective is, even in LA, you know, I think you were first, right? Or something like that. Where
you at? You're breaking up a little bit, bro.
Like I'm saying, even in LA, can you hear me now? Are you able to hear me now? Is it coming through?
You're
not coming through? I don't know what to do.
You're good.
You good now? Okay. So what I was saying was, even in LA, thank you. Am I right? Can you hear me? You can hear me? I don't think my man can hear me. Dang, I wanted to get this
done. No, keep going, bro.
Okay, cool. So you follow Mental Dialogue, the show or whatever. And you know I'm really a diehard stat dig-in researcher. So a lot of times I bring numbers to the table. And I want to give people a perspective about we got to do better. You know, for the way you said it, I want to give people a perspective about it. So in a year, a lot of black murders, for example, anytime there's 10,000 black murders in the course of a year, 10,000 early 90s numbers. If you recall, you know, when the murder rate was sky high. Can you still hear me, King? I want to make sure you're here catching. Is it coming through?
I got you.
Okay, cool. So anyway, yeah, let me keep going with these numbers. So people put numbers. When you say we got to do better for us, understand, I agree. In cities and different areas where we have problems, there are people who are contending with them daily. That's not to say that there shouldn't be more efforts. Those problems have to be dealt with in a city where there might be desolation. Wherever there's desolation, you're going to see humans respond the same way. It's not that black people respond a certain way when they're in desolation. When there are a lot of people concentrated in one area, what's up, Baba? I mean, it's not anytime there's a lot of people concentrated in one area and there's lack of economics, humans respond to those circumstances the same way all over the world. Anywhere in the world where you go see this, these humans respond a certain way. So when we start saying we got to do better, as if there's something in, James says is, all right, can you hear me now, James? Because I definitely want people to hear this part. Let me know, thumbs up if you can hear me now.
It's like you're going in and out.
Dang, I don't know what to do because I ain't moving my phone. I really want people to hear this part. Am I still in and out? I don't know what to do.
You good.
Okay, cool.
You perfect now.
All right, perfect. I'm going to hold my phone like this and hopefully that'll help. So, so around the world, people respond to any, because I'm from the, let me throw this out there. I'm from the rural South, right? So from the rural South, we're not concentrated like people are in New York or in Chicago or whatever. So there's desolation, but what you're not going to have in the South is a high murder rate. You know, in my little small town, we've had a couple of deaths, you know, almost in my life. Well, I'll say more than a couple, but for my age group in my lifetime. And so when people are desolate, fighting for resources, when people are spread out, you're going to have less interaction like that. I'm bringing this point to table for this reason. So when people are talking about we got to do better, well, even in a place like Chicago, who's, you know, notorious is on the news for everything that's going on there. Well, 10,000 deaths across America in a year. If you put that in perspective, there's 42 to 45 million black people in America, right? I'm hoping I'm coming through. All right. So 10,000 people dying, which is a high year, considered a high murder rate year. That's 0.0002% of deaths at of people being murdered.
Wow.
Okay, let's assume for the sake of what I'm saying that all 10,000 were killed by people in the street. We know that's not reality, right? You know what I mean? We know that number may be half were killed by those out there in the streets, you know, whatever reason they got out there in it, you know what I mean? Usually because of failings of us as adults, not preparing them and giving them a situation where they don't have the streets to choose, right? Like we can't own that as a community. Like a lot of times we're pointing a finger at these kids as if we gave them a better choice. So I'm willing to look at self and do for self, but this concept of people that's talking about, I had a friend who was mad as hell that Nipsey got killed because he was doing for the community and one of our own killed him. And his response was, it's bullshit that we act this way. No, we're talking about 0.0002% of people who are of the mindset that will go out and kill a Nipsey due to their own jealousy. So that means 99.9% of us would never, as black people, do what the hell happened to Nipsey. So ain't no we got to do better when we see these scenarios that unfortunately, like you said from day one, was one jealous ass motherfucker.
Right.
Who shot right. his brother.
And he wasn't even jealous. He was embarrassed. Well, go ahead.
You gotta be specific. You're right.
Right.
Yeah, very, right. Very
he
much
wasn't
so.
Jealous.
Yeah, let's get it. Call it what it is.
Embarrassed.
But I'm trying to bring this to the table. To that narrative of us being criminals and doing all of these things, that narrative has been handed to us through the mass incarceration racket, basically. So when we are adopting, we got to do better, when the reality is 99.9% of us would never act that way, that ain't no we. It doesn't
Man,
mean,
they don't...
go ahead.
We can't it's an imaginary bar that's been set that don't even exist. We you know, most people I know doing all right. I don't know too many murderers. I don't.
Well, you can't, based on the numbers I just told you. I'm just talking about because of the numbers. And again, this is not to reduce the 10,000 number as though it's not a problem. That's not the point here. And I mean, I understand that you're getting it, but I just want to say it for those who think, because I mentor kids. You mentor kids. Baba Means on here, he mentors kids. So when we out here doing the work, and you're talking about we got to do better, all of us that's doing the work is saying, well, are you out here with us? And sometimes they are. I'm not acting like they're never there. But the concept of we got to do better when we see a tragedy such as Nipsey Hussle, that's not an indictment on the Black community. It's a issue.
And I
go ahead.
Can I answer the brother's question?
Oh yeah, please do.
He was embarrassed because he got put off the set.
Right.
And was slapped in front of his peers. That's why he was embarrassed.
Yeah, Baba, I mean,
the set was his family.
Right.
And they told him he couldn't come back. And a brother that he loved, his homeboy, slapped the shit out of him. That's why he was embarrassed. He wasn't jealous. All that, William, being called a snitch in the hood, that's some heavy shit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and Baba Amin just said it, toxic shame. Toxic shame. James, yeah, basically, real quick, James, this is the specifics. And again, I want to get into the legacy part, but the specifics is, it was concerned about him being a snitch. They kicked him out of the set. As Supreme just explained to you, again, I'm not even getting into those specifics, but those only thing I'll say about those specifics is that type of scenario ain't got nothing to do with we. And so I would offer, and we can get close to the end on this thing, Supreme, I would offer that another thing that should come out of this legacy, even though we know that Nipsey came out of that life, he didn't run from it, he represented that life, whatever. He obviously progressed past it. And obviously all of us would never want to see anybody bring harm to him. Well, I feel like another thing that's owed to his legacy is not to be accepting narratives as if there's an inherent problem with us when he's a prime example of how to overcome it, even at the worst levels. Most of us, I'm from South Carolina, the South. I'm glad I didn't have to grow up like how NWA introduced that lifestyle to those of us who had no idea that that's their world, the underbelly of America. But do not confuse the underbelly of America as if those scenarios were not created. I challenge anyone to go listen to Dissect the first season when they did they dissected To Pimp a Butterfly, and the narrator, of a white dude, goes into the history of what Compton was like before the gangs came about. And you and I both know those gangs came about in reaction to the white gangs at the time that were terrorizing our community. I know you know that as well, but I'll share that for the people that are listening that won't even know why they started. And again, I'm not trying to give credit, but if you find out what happens to the economics right after that point that they came to protect the community, when you understand the economics that was intentional through redlining, through job depressing, removing jobs from the community, and it becomes a, because it was a thriving, it was one of the few places that the few Blacks who had decided to go west, most that went north, right, during most of the migration, right. But those that went there, right, that was where they settled together and had a thriving, Compton was a thriving community. And so when you understand
that's why I made that post, man, people really need to study and research how it all started, and also the culture and how I migrated and why I migrated from Los Angeles throughout the whole country. People just don't know. They don't understand, man. It's just a lack of information. It's a lack of knowledge that's readily available. You just got to study it.
Yep. And I'm just sharing it to say, in my opinion, what you think about this, in my opinion, instead of this, we got to do better and we hate that it happened, another legacy point would be to not reduce ourselves to this moment as if there's a inherent problem with African Americans. But if we take the first thing we talked about, if we take those steps, go in the STEM, take his blueprint, and revitalize our own neighborhoods the way that he was going, we would actually change that result as well, if I'm making sense. So those are the two legacy points to me, is emulate him.
I think that,
go ahead.
I think it's going to spark a lot of people. I think it's going to continue to motivate those who already own it and who ain't own it. You can't worry about it. You can't worry about who not doing what. You got to focus on who doing something, man.
Right.
You know, we spend too much time worrying about who ain't doing it, who ain't on it, man. And it's people suffer that's actually doing something, and we don't show them no attention. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
'Cause we focus on the bullshit.
Right.
So it's people out there that's going to take the mantle and going to run with it. You're going to see marathons popping up all across the country.
Absolutely. Yeah, let me.
And that's what we got to focus on.
Let me say one thing you just made me think of, a point that I keep seeing people making. And I just want to, again, critical, realistic thinking. So you're absolutely right about people that are doing the work that are all, you know, in a sense, maybe not getting recognized. And some people have been inspired. I got a brother reached out to me. They want to recognize people here in Atlanta that are doing the work. And it's been sparked because of Nipsey Hussle. So what you said is, you know, it is happening, as you said. But it's also one other thought I would like to challenge and just see what you think of it. But even the concept of the idea of, I wish we would recognize people in a sense in this manner before they die. And it's like, there's a level of, I'm sorry, I had somebody on my phone. There's a level of it's almost like a lack of understanding that the reality is, anytime that's doing anything is great, anybody that's doing anything as great as that brother was or whatever, it's always going to be that heartfelt for the community. It happens in your local community. So that's not abnormal. I definitely love the concept of give people the flower, you know, give them their flowers while they're here. But the reality is, his recognition was coming along the way. So it's almost like it becomes, in my opinion, over negative to just kind of, for people that are just pushing that narrative, I'm just going to throw this out here. This wasn't something I had planned to talk about, but it becomes over negative to push the narrative as if that's not what's, in a sense, always going to happen when you lose a big patriarch or a big matriarch for a community. That's just a reality. And I think we should just appreciate that ascension to the ancestors. That's just one thought I just want to throw out there real quick.
Right. Right, right. And man, everybody can't fulfill certain missions and certain, can't walk in certain shoes, man. And we got to humble ourselves and understand that was his role. That was his mission. You know what I'm saying? And sit back and be humble about it. And also, like, I'm not sad in that sense. I'm sad, like, we lost a good brother and, you know, his family lost him. But I'm also happy and excited that he sparked this. You know what I'm saying? Because I always try to look at both sides of the coins. You know what I'm saying? I always try to remain balanced in the middle. You know what I'm saying? Look at both perspectives, man. So his calling was huge, man. He was too big for this world.
Yeah, that's real.
He was too big for this world, man.
Yep. And, I'm going to shout out my Mental Dialogue talk show every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. As I tell people, we're not a place where you're going to hear what you like all the time, because it's, Brother Supreme said, we like to bring both sides to the table on any issue that we're discussing. And we like to even push the envelope on things you already think, because that's how we get sharper. And I think that's the type of thinker that Nipsey was. I think he changed his life because he researched, studied. And again, if we're going to emulate him, then we need to go into STEM. We need to go into infrastructure. And the last thing I'll leave people with, the concept of we got to do better, I think we've kind of broke it down on this video. But I also want people to understand that when you simply say that, you are reinforcing it for the next generation, as if we subconsciously have an inherent problem. And that is so untrue.
Right.
And so to elevate, which is, I think, a legacy of Nipsey, to elevate the next generation to be more like him, then we need to call it for what it is, like you did. You got the word on the street and says, this is actually what happened. Wasn't no big, large government conspiracy. It wasn't no they out there that we can't beat. It was simply this. So we need to recall those one-offs, what they are. Those type of murders are, in a sense, one-offs. They may not be one-offs in a specific community. I want those communities to handle them. But let's not say, like, when we don't have a situation, there's plenty of thriving Black communities where we don't act that way. And it's because the opportunity's there, whether we make them or take them. And so that's not who we are. So we need to quit saying it as a people. I'm sorry, King. That's all I got.
And my thing is, man, if you're going to roll with the conspiracy shit, figure out how to stop it from happening in the future.
Damn right.
If you ain't figured out how to stop them, then we just talking. We just asking questions. Well, why this? Why that? That don't sound right. What about this? What about that? It's a waste of time to me.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, they get excited about it and that's their lifelong mission, but I just feel like it's more important shit going on that we can focus on and put more efforts to food, clothing, shelter. Practicality.
Absolutely. Let me tell you a couple comments before we go. Bob Amin says, my issue is when we say no other race kills each other or no other race is divided. It's a lie. He's absolutely right. Or whatever. There's no group is a monolith. We did the show on what can we learn from Asians Americans. I brought on a Chinese guy and a brother that was mixed Korean and black. And this is one of my most listened to shows. And it was beautiful to hear how they think it's laughable that we think they're together. Like, and to a certain extent, because no groups are monoliths, but we apply these narratives to continue reinforcing that there's something wrong with us. That is not the case. Robert Lawson says, I gained something watching this. That's why we did it, King. I got together with this brother who I know speaks straight, no chaser. I consider the Million Dollar Community Club truth seekers, and that's what this brother is. That's why I follow him. Please go follow. Tell him how to follow you if you want some more, you know, if anybody's listening that don't follow you. Tell them how to follow you, Supreme. Hey, you have to say it again. The phone broke up. Say it again.
Can you hear me?
It's barely coming through.
Yo, yo.
Yep, you're coming through now. Go ahead, King. Tell them how to follow you.
I want to add on something right quick about what you said about Asians, right?
Okay, please go ahead.
When I was in a federal penitentiary, I learned the different ethnic groups of Asians hate each other.
Right.
They don't fuck with each other like that, man. Right. They don't. I seen more Mexicans kill each other than I seen black people kill each other.
Nah, that's real. We got it. Yeah, I'm gonna add on to it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna add on to it. One time I sat by this sister on a, not sister, she was Chinese, I believe, Chinese American, on a plane. This blew my mind. I almost wrote a book because of this, and I'm gonna write another book, not the one I plan to write. But I was riding with her, and you know, and I love having dialogues with all people. That's just who I am. I talk, you know, have dialogues. Well, I'm talking to her, and we, you know, I'm just telling her I was considering doing some things about different races, and I, you know, so she got involved. She said to me that in their meetings, that they literally sit around in their meetings and go back and forth and says, why can't we get together like the black people do when they have a cause? This is what she said, that they say in their meetings. It's laughable. It's laughable how we apply generalizations to harm ourselves.
If we are the most emulated people on the planet, how come we can't believe they emulating our unity?
Strong thought, King. Hey, that's all I got for it, man. I'm gonna, you know, give out my information to stay in contact. Give you all, I think you're coming through better now. So how they can follow you, man? Say it again, because it didn't come through the first time you tried to say it.
Man, just on Rich Ross page. That's me. Supremes pull up. Rich Ross. Send me a friend request. We can rock out.
Hey, send it to me via because this is messing. Every time you get to give it out, it mess up. Send it to me via text, and I'll put it on. Because I'm gonna do a video. I'm gonna put this on YouTube, and I'm gonna keep sharing it, and I'm gonna put your information up for everybody out there with me. Again, my name is Montoya Smith, aka Black Socrates. I'm so glad to kick it up with this King Supreme Ra. The brother always brings the facts. He keeps it real. And follow us on IG at mental_dialogue. You're already on my personal Facebook page. You can also go to the Mental Dialogue Facebook page. And this segment was sponsored by moneymotivation.com. Thank y'all for checking it out. Share it with people, because I think we talked about some legacy points, in my opinion, that people are not talking about. Even though we said emulate, but hopefully we said it in a way that people will take the next step, because it will only be talk if we don't take the next step. I'm going to give you the last thought, and I'm out, King.
I just want to tell Bob I mean. He said, you carried me.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know how
I'm his student. I'm a reflection of him. I wasn't prepared right.
I got your back, Bob. And you ain't live on the air with us, so we gonna let Supreme have the last one on that one. Hey, thank everybody for listening.
I'm going, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, always, King. I'll see y'all next Saturday. This Saturday coming up, the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. We got a conversation with smart people. We're bringing on a mental health specialist. Mental dialogue. You improve the conversation inside your head. You will be better. And once you're better, our community will be better. All I ask is that you think.
I say.
Absolutely. I'm out.